Today on Real Radio.
But we can become, as what Paul said, we can become like one of those who, after having served Christ, we ourselves wind up being removed or cut off, disqualified, not from salvation, but from being used by God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. And now Pastor Jack is in a multi-part mini-series taken from the first 11 verses of chapter 4. Now, once again, Israel here had to deal with their ancient foe, the Philistines. And sadly, this time, Israel was soundly defeated in battle, losing thousands upon thousands of foot soldiers. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs explains Israel's misinterpretation of these events. It's a lesson called When the Glory Has Departed.
But if you don't confess your sin to the Lord, you'll walk around, you'll live the rest of your days in a Christian daze, D-A-Z-E. You'll miss it. God will want to be speaking. He'll want to be leading you through battle. You'll miss it. You'll be in a daze. You'll be in a fog. All because pride will keep you from confessing your sin. Israel would not confess. What do? They go to war. Not the thing to do. There used to be, and I don't know, maybe you're a Desert Storm veteran, I don't know, but there used to be a time in America, certainly it was in England, that soldiers, before their day of battle, the night before, they would confess and pray and seek God and ask for His hand in battle. And I don't know what we do. I hope we do that as a fighting force. I know that we give Bibles out. I got a Desert Storm Bible from a soldier that was there, and I'm grateful for that. But personal application. Listen, the need of personal application is something that we don't often talk about, and it's kind of a shame because personally I often assume that that's what you and I are going to do. When we hear a Bible study, when we take notes, we are assuming that we're going to put this into practice. Or else, you know what the alternative is, we're just hearers of the Word and not doers. And it would have been better for us to never have heard the Word. The need of personal application. We need to consider a few things, and maybe if this blesses you, you write it down in a personal place for you. When we hear a Bible study, when we hear the Word of God go out, when we hear a verse, we need to ask a few questions. You want to ask this question, what does the passage mean? What is the passage? What is the verse? Or what is the chapter? Or what does the Bible study mean? You want to ask yourself that question. The second thing is you want to ask this, what does the passage mean to me? Well, if it meant this to Israel, what does it mean to me? If the Bible is eternal, and it is, but it's talking about an ancient event, well, then if you put those factors together, I have to ask the question, what does it mean to me? Can I do and can I be guilty of what Israel did? The answer is yes, me too. I don't want to do that. I don't want to fall into that error. I don't want the glory to depart. Can you imagine? And we've all failed, but we must repent, as we said earlier. But can you imagine being a Christian, being used by God, and God trying to get through, trying to break through, to speak, and we won't listen to Him? And God says, you know, you're not usable to me anymore. This is kind of weird, okay? But I've had a lawnmower for years, and it's a good lawnmower. And it has been really acting up, and it's worn out, and I took it to the shop, and the guy says, well, you know, you can kind of keep using it, but it's not going to work much anymore. It's a good mower. And so I went to, Home Depot, of course. I went to Home Depot, and I bought a new one. Almost killed myself putting it in the back of the truck, get it home. Almost kill myself getting it out. Get it out there in the yard, fire that baby up. Started right up, first pull. You know, all right, took 5 steps into the grass. And pooped out. I turned it over. The blade's all coated in grass. Grass was dry. Cleaned it off, started up again, took 5 or 10 more walks, steps, I should say, with it. And all of the grass gets stuck in the design of the thing. It's got this big neck that comes up and deposits into its easy emptying handy case or whatever. What a stupid thing this is. It's all stuck right there. And I looked at my old mower and I thought, man. And I'm thinking, brand new mower, take the engine off, put it on the old one. Bypass all this new fandangled garbage. So I clean up the lawnmower, I take it back to Home Depot, and I said, this is the worst lawnmower I've ever seen in my life. And they said, hey, here's your money back. I said, thank you very much. And so I went and bought a different one. And this is the deal. I bought this Honda. And I was really having a hard time because I'm thinking, I'm going to buy American. You know, I don't know. Were any of you raised like that? Nobody was raised like that. Yeah. So I buy a Honda. And there's no Briggs & Stratton motor on that Honda, you know. It's a Honda. And it all works different. There's no choke. There's none of the things that I've grown up with. You look at it, and it almost starts. And when I started it, first pull, I mean, out of the box. And wow, it was so quiet. I thought, piece of junk. This can't do anything. It's just, and I start walking with it, and it's like, it's sucking up everything, man. And I'm afraid now my little dog runs by. She hates this lawnmower. She's scared to death of it. Strange. And she's running by, and I'm thinking, get away. This thing's going. And I mowed my lawn, and I pulled it up, and it's like, I mean, I pulled it up. Vroom. And I looked over at my old mower. And for a moment, I was thinking about, there was a little cartoon about a car that's no longer wanted, and it goes into a junkyard, and it's sitting there, and it's looking around, and it's all sad. My mower, it's not usable anymore. How sad that is. I got a new mower. And how sad it would be for us to be no longer usable. God says, you know, you can't do it. You're not doing it anymore. The glory's departed from your life. I'd love to use you. But you have no power anymore. You have no strength. You can't go on like you used to go. You haven't been with me. How sad that is. That someday it could be that God says to me or to you, you know, you're no longer fellowshipping with me. There's no longer that connection of power. I can't use you anymore. I think I'd rather be dead and be in heaven than to be in a place where God can't use us anymore. Another thing that we consider on this fact that there will be no spiritual word in the life of a person where the glory has departed is that there will be no changed life. There will be no change in life. It says in verses 2 and 3 that Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of their soldiers. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, listen, why has the Lord defeated us today? Excuse me? You recognize that kind of talk? Who defeated who? They attacked themselves when they never went to God, when they never yielded to God. And when a heart is wayward from God, that's exactly how it thinks. It's exactly how it talks. Why did the Lord do this to us? How many times does God have to take the rap in things that he's not even involved in? They say, why has the Lord defeated us? Wow. They're accusing God. Bitter at God. This is an emotionally charged life that speaks at times like this. Why has the Lord defeated me? Remember in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Remember that. You and I have to remember that. In Ephesians 4, 23, the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man. Why? Because we got an old man. Put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We have an old man. We have a new man. And the new man and the old man wage the war. One is to be crucified. How often? Daily. The other one to be renewed day by day. Kill the one, renew the other. I know we've mentioned this in the past, but it bears repeating, where Harry Ironside was coming from Chicago. He was going to be preaching in, of all places, Glendale, California. He was coming out here, and Dr. Ironside stopped in North Dakota, and he did some preaching there. There was a big Indian, and that Indian asked the usher to lower the plate. Can you lower the plate, the offering plate? Can you lower it? And the usher kept lowering it. He goes, lower. And he bends down more. He says, lower. So the usher got kind of ticked off, and he just put the offering plate on the ground, and the Indian stepped inside the offering plate. He goes, I don't have any money, but I can give God me. Harry Ironside saw that. After the service, he said, that was a wonderful picture. I'll never forget that. Spoke volumes to me. I'm curious, are you a believer? He said, oh, yes, I'm a believer. He says, well, how do you know you're a believer? You're so sure. It's not often that I see someone so sure that they're a believer. And he says, well, I'm sure I'm a believer. So Harry Ironside said, well, tell me how you know for sure. He says, well, he says, ever since I accepted Christ, I found that there's a white dog and a black dog living inside of me. And he says, they fight constantly. And Ironside says, well, which dog wins? And he says, whichever one I feed the most. Isn't that great? Whichever one I feed the most. You've been snooping around the internet on pictures and websites you ought not to be looking at. And then on Monday or Tuesday or whenever, you're wondering why you're struggling with temptation and lust. You know what? If we weren't civil people, I'd like to come slap you right now. What do you expect? Why do I have this problem? Oh, shut up. You know exactly why you have this problem. Well, you have a problem with money, but you go on the net and you're buying stuff, and it's, you know, you get this thing. Well, I didn't see any cash go through my hands. It's kind of like, I didn't see any money fly, so it must be okay. Well, the bill comes in 30 days. And then you wonder why you can't tithe or pay your bill or feed your kids. But you got that, you know, plastic plated bracelet. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Look, all of us struggle, and all of us have that thing that God will say, the Holy Spirit speaking, don't look that way, don't go over there, don't think, don't talk, don't, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. So who wins whatever dog you feed? The white dog, obviously representing the Lord and the walk that we have in Christ, is new man. If he feeds on the word, if he feeds in fellowship, he's going to be stronger, and that white dog eats up and puts down the black dog. But he starts tampering in things that ought not to be tampering in, and then that black dog's going to kick the snot out of the white one. And he'll be walking around in a defeated Christian experience. What's frightening about that truth is that you and I can make that decision 100 times in one day. I don't know where they came up with this number with, but in one of Billy Graham's books, he had made a mention, the book about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham mentions in there that some psychologists that he consulted in regarding this said that an average American makes 200 to 300 decisions a day. I thought I made 3, maybe 4 at most, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and maybe a snack somewhere, you know. 200 to 300. I don't like to hear that. That's 200 to 300 potential blunders. But if you're spirit-filled and the white dog's winning, you'll do just fine. You'll do okay. And so, a life that is not changed because the glory has departed and there's no feeding upon the Bible, listen, we become carnal. Now, due to the time we're at, we're going to end on this point here, but let's spend some time on this fact. In your Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a very interesting passage. And while you're turning there or jotting it down, consider this. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1. There are many, many people. There are many churches. There are many pastors that teach that there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. They say it's impossible. You're either carnal or you're a Christian. And the word carnal means flesh, meaty, beefy, non-spiritual, of this world. Flesh. Flesh is in control. So the question begs, if a Christian is someone who's born again, how can they be carnal? Well, it's very simple. It goes back to the white dog, black dog. We are creatures that have been redeemed. Listen, here's the deal. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Note, that song is sung in heaven. Have we been redeemed? Yes, we have. Are we going to be redeemed? Yes, we will. When did God redeem us? Before the foundation of the world were ever created. So which one is it? All of the above. We were saved in eternity past in the mind of God. We are saved. That's true biblical theology. And so is this. We shall be saved. What does that mean? In the mind of God, He saved us. He knows with His foreknowledge. He knows. We, you and I, are in the process of Christian growth. We're being saved. Well, what if I die today? You go to heaven. Why? Because you're saved. But we are in the process of practical sanctification. We are growing. And when we all arrive in heaven, we're going to rejoice because we're saved. We were in the process of being saved. And we're gloriously saved in the kingdom. It's wonderful. But does that negate the fact that the Christian struggles? No, not at all. Listen, 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "And I, brethren," Paul is speaking, "could not speak to you as to spiritual people." Pause. "And I," who? "Brethren," Christians. "And I," Christians, "could not speak to you as to being spiritual people." In other words, you're carnal people. "But as to you as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like common or unredeemed men?" You see, you can be a Christian and be carnal, but you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to be in an arrested state of spiritual growth. That's tragic. Why? There's real no deep change in your life. Does God want to change us? Yeah. But there's no real deep change because we're not allowing it. We're carnal. We fight with people, arguing. "I want that. She's got that. If I can't have that, then you take hers." And how come this and how come that? And why didn't they pick me? I mean, everybody knows I'm the right person for the job. Why didn't they use me for that ministry? I would have done it better than anybody else. Yeah, that's why they didn't pick you. How can this be? Carnal. We need to repent of that stuff. Why? It will disable us. And those things left unchecked will cause the glory of God to depart from our lives. You say, "Well, Jack, that was in the Old Testament." Yeah, I know. But we can become, as what Paul said, we can become like one of those who, after having served Christ, we ourselves wind up being removed or cut off, disqualified. Not from salvation, but from being used by God. You wonder here in Samuel what God really wanted to do. We're not going to quite know. But you wonder what could have been done if Israel would have said, "We've sinned. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us." Knowing the Lord like you know the Lord, he would have said, "All right, great." And you know what he did? He would have told us a story about a man who had a son who requested his inheritance and ran away from home, who went and spent it all in riotous living. And then after a while, when all things were spent and he was now broke, he loaned himself out to tend to the pigs in some man's stable. And as he's feeding the pigs, he begins to eat with the pigs. "The servants in my father's house do better than I do. I will arise. I will go to him. Perchance he will have me. And I'd rather be a servant in my father's house than to live like this." And so the man leaves the pig's pen and he heads home. And the Bible says that when the father saw him so far away, the father made an announcement, "Kill the fatted calf, get my ring and my robe, get my slippers and remote control and bring out the beamer and my boy's back." And the kid man, the boy, the young man, he's going to be happy to lick dust at his father's house. What happens? His father runs. By the way, in that culture, when Jesus told us of that story, that parable, fathers, patriarchs, never run. It's forbidden. Did you know that? A man of authority, the senior, one of a family, the father, the grandfather, you're not supposed to run. It shows weakness and emotionalism. You're not to run like that. And what happens? The father pulls up his skirt, his robe, and takes off. That's how you ran then. And he runs after his own son to him. That must have just caused tears. Can you imagine to well up in that son's face? "Oh my gosh, my father's lost it. He's doing everything that is demeaning to a father and to a patriarch of a home. He's not acting, you know, in a respectable way. He's lost control. But you know what? If he's going to lose control at all, I'm glad he's losing it over me. He's welcoming back. He wants me. I wonder if his friends are watching. What a message he sends to me." And the father says, "My son, who was lost, really, who was dead, now has been found. Now is alive. Now has come back." Isn't that amazing? Has the glory departed in your life? Are you dead in your walk with Jesus? Come on back. Come on home. He's running to you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When the Glory Has Departed. It's a look at the first 11 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 4. In fact, When the Glory Has Departed is a multi-part mini-series, which means that we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, you can always visit realradioactive.org if you'd like to hear today's edition of Real Radio once again, or you can hear it as many times as you'd like. In fact, you can also hear archived editions of Real Radio, and you can even become a Real Radio podcast subscriber while you're there. By the way, this is all made easy with our brand new Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. We've been telling you all about that. You really should get it if you get a chance. Have you downloaded it yet? Don't forget, it is free. To learn more, visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.